Welcome to the Daily Dad Podcast, where we provide one lesson every single day to help you with your most important job, being a parent. I'm Ryan Holiday, and I draw these lessons from ancient philosophy, modern psychology, practical wisdom, and insights from parents just like you all over the world. Thank you for listening, and we hope this helps. As you know, the human body is mostly water. What you didn't know is that everything else in your body is basically 50% amino acids. And these building blocks are essential to health and fitness in life. And if you like to move, which I do, amino acids are essential. And that's why Keon Aminos is a fundamental supplement for fitness. You can drink them every day for energy, to build muscle, and recover faster. It's got the highest quality ingredients, no fillers, no junk. Every product undergoes rigorous quality testing and tastes amazing with all natural flavors. If you want more energy, lean muscle, faster recovery, you have to get Keon Aminos. And you can now save 20% on subscriptions or 10% off a one-time purchase. Just go to getkeon.com/dailydad. I'll spell it out for you. That's getkeon.com/dailydad to get a great supplement for fitness. That's Keon Aminos. Check it out. Look, nobody likes to be watched or tracked, even if you have nothing to hide. You don't like your computer slowed down by things. You don't like those creepy tracked ads. You don't like your data being sold and used against you. That's why it's important to step up your privacy game and think about browsing through a VPN where your traffic is encrypted and no one can see what you do online. NordVPN is a fantastic VPN service, and it's the flagship product of the cybersecurity company Nord Security. It's easy to use. You connect with one click, or you can enable auto connect for zero-click protection. It has 5,400 servers in 60 countries. You find the server nearest to you for better speed, or you can connect to a faraway location to freely explore the internet. It's got amazing speed, which has been confirmed by speed tests. It's the fastest VPN out there. And you can use it on up to 6 devices on every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, and Linux. Even your Android TV supports NordVPN. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/dailydad to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan. There's free threat protection plus one additional month for free. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Just go to nordvpn.com/dailydad to try it out. Welcome to the Daily Dad Podcast. As you know, during the week, we do our weekly meditations. And then on the weekends, either we do deep dives or Niels, my writing partner, and I dig into some parenting topics, both being parents of young kids. Remember when I was telling you that I was working on sort of delegating more stuff in my life so I could have more either time for my kids or my life could be better, and that I'd hired a stylist?
Yeah.
Which actually worked out great. I wear all the clothes. I don't have to think about what I'm wearing. It's actually been much more a professional help than a personal one because I wear them in videos and stuff. But we made the decision to hire someone else that I didn't even really know was a thing, but has been amazing. We hired an organizer,
like, yes,
because we've spent the last 2 years in our farm, which is smaller than people might think my house would be. And it's very poorly designed, the way that our house is set up. But you spend all that time in one place, you begin to hate it in some ways, too. Mm-hmm. Anyways, having two young kids working from home, the house just like filled up with crap and there was no flow to it. And we sort of found out, like, we found we were always on top of each other, stressed, miserable, just like, you know, like when things are a mess. So we hired a designer, we hired an organizer, and she spent like the last 3 weeks just sort of painstakingly going through everything. And it's been amazing.
Did she have to make you get rid of stuff?
I would say yes. I would say the name organizer or like what you're hiring. It's like sometimes you hire someone to do one thing, but really they're just doing a different thing. But that name is that, if you called it that, it would be too unappealing. I would say 70% of it is throwing stuff away.
Oh, for sure.
It's really cataloging all the stuff you have and then going, okay, wow, we have a lot more stuffed animals for the kids than we thought we did, because they're spread out over different rooms and somewhere in closet, you know, like a huge part of it was throwing stuff away. We might even have to get, like, if not a dumpster, like rent some sort of bigger than a pickup truck to come take all the stuff out.
Yeah. A good friend of ours is an organizer in DC. And so she deals with a lot of like the Georgetown types, the government types. And she was telling me about her work, and she's like, I'm kind of like a Jerry Maguire, where it's like, help me help you.
Yes.
That's, she says, like, when I work with somebody for a 3-day weekend, the first day is just getting them into the mental and emotional space to commit to getting rid of probably 60% of the things that she wants them, that they want her to organize for them.
Like, I've always worked from home. Like, it was my only office for a long time. And then the pandemic, it's more, but it was like, oh, going through the closet, she found 20 binders of 20,000 pages of legal documents that I worked on for conspiracy, which like, I'm not going to throw away, because like there's like notes and stuff, like that was painstaking work that went into making a book. And like, I try to keep my research materials for my books, because you never know, right? Like, you never know when you're going to need them or whatever. But it was like, yeah, the upstairs closet is not where I need to store those now that I do have an office. Or I could just also put it in a storage unit and not think about it for 20 years. You know, like, it just doesn't need to be in the house, making everything else feel more jammed packed than it needs to be.
I was going to say, it feels like when you run into this issue as a homeowner or as a parent, it's like there's two things going on. Either that you feel like it's something that you can use, or it's something that you have a sentimental attachment to. And it's like your research is both of those things.
Yes.
And there's, but it's not like it's not a hoarder's kind of rationalization thing. It's real. Like, those, that research produced a book that people love, and it has actual value that you could utilize later on. And like, in my house, we have a similar problem, but Jen's issue is mostly about sentimentality.
Yeah.
It's not really, with the kids stuff now, there's some utility, because it's like, oh, we could give these clothes to his cousins who are smaller, or who knows who's going to have kids after this. And I'm like, yeah, we could, but we're probably not going to. And if we want to, we could put them all in a storage unit. And it's been very interesting walking through the psychology of that and not being able to physically touch the things that have so much sentimental value.
Well, and like, so obviously getting rid of a ton of crap, that was like a huge part of it. And we're still like mid, because like a lot of the stuff just moved to the garage to then be like gotten rid of. So now it's like, you know, the house is clean, but the garage is a mess, which is definitely preferable. But like, I would say getting rid of stuff was a huge part. But the real thing was like, okay, like, she basically was like, look, the kids are the dominant presence in every room in your house. Like, so like, there's toys spread out in every room of your house, instead of going like, here is this, like, so upstairs at the farm, like, it's sort of this like bonus space. Like, it's weird, because downstairs has everything you need, but there's sort of this like tiny bedroom up there, and then like this one huge long room, which previously I sort of kept as an office. There's also like a TV and a couch up there, so you could like watch, like I could watch sports up there sometimes. But the point was that the bonus room and the bedroom and the whole other room, especially as I stopped working there as much, just became like giant kid area. And she was like, no, we're going to make this a guest bedroom, and then the kids are going to have this part of this room. So it weirdly, like, it's not just organizing, but it kind of came back to like boundaries. Like, here is the areas where this stuff is allowed, and then here's where it's not allowed. And then once you have boundaries, it becomes easier to clean stuff up, because you're like, put this back over here, as opposed to like, well, it doesn't really matter if they're doing the puzzle in this room or this room or this room, because we do puzzles everywhere.
Yeah, it's much easier to direct your child to do that if you have a place to send them.
Yes. or just like, she made the, and she, like, what I liked about it too, is like when someone's just like a pro at something and you're like, you do this now. Right. And so she was like, all the kids' shirts will be hung up. So like shorts, underwear, socks, et cetera, that all goes in the dresser, but like shirts you hang up. And I was like, okay. And then it's like, oh, it's much simpler. And then like, there's not an overflowing drawer of t-shirts now. It's just, so just like these little decisions that sort of add up in a big way has made the whole thing like so much better.
Yeah.
And then it's just not like, so basically originally we hired her to do like the two kids' rooms and the upstairs room. And then we're just like, you know what? Just do all of it. Like, just do all of it. Just make it consistent, make it make sense. And so that's what we're in the middle of doing right now.
That's interesting, because it's not just like the way you were describing the shirts. It's like, it's not just boundaries. It's also routine. Like, yes. She's giving you a routine to follow, a script to follow. So as much as it may be adding to your sort of to-do list, at least you have a script for it. It's not, you're not just sort of meandering through trying to figure out where to put stuff.
No, that's totally right. And then like the weird thing is like, okay, so we have lots of books in our house, right? Makes sense. She was like, okay, let's pick like 20 books to be in the kids' room. Like, we can have this shelf up here, like in the upstairs area where you have all the books, but like, what are like the 20 books that go in the kids' room? So we went through and we like sort of picked those books. And then it becomes not just easier to like pick a book for bedtime because there's less choices, but like it feels more imperative. Like, so let's say I'm reading the book to my son in bed and then like he's falling asleep. So you set the book down like next to the bed, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's much more out of place in a book where in a room where there's 20 books and they're all on the shelf than it is in a room that is overflowing with books, right? So it's kind of like this broken window theory thing of like, you eliminate a bunch of crap, you create some systems, and then you feel it more when something is violating the system or out of place. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think my in-laws, or my sister-in-law, who owns a children's bookstore down in Richmond, she instituted a similar policy around books in her daughter's rooms like 10, 15 years ago. And what she found, not just everything you just described, but also it baked into her girls, like use it or lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not, there wasn't this expectation that the girls are just going to be surrounded by stuff forever, whatever they want, and they can leave it wherever they want. Like, it has, everything has a place and everything has a purpose. And if you're not using it, we're going to donate it. We're going to give it to your friends. We're going to do something other than just let it sit and languish and, you know, gather dust.
If you want to improve your relationship with your kids, one of the best ways you can do that is by improving your most important relationship, which is your relationship with yourself, whether it's body issues, whether it's eating issues, whether it's childhood traumas from early in life, whether it's a work addiction, a drug addiction, whether it's how you see yourself and that affects how you act in your marriage, right? Dealing with your own issues will make you a better parent. And I think the best way to do that is with therapy. BetterHelp Online Therapy, the sponsor of today's podcast, wants to remind you to take care of your most important relationship, the one you have with yourself. BetterHelp Online Therapy offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. You don't even have to see anyone on camera. Definitely don't have to see anyone in person if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp Online Therapy. Daily Dad listeners will get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/dailydad. That's betterhelp.com/dailydad. Yeah, and like it does feel weird like getting rid of toys, and it could feel cruel, but I think one of the good choices we've made with our kids is like we just get a lot of our toys like at garage sales or Goodwill or whatever. So like we're not like, hey, we paid a lot of money for this and you have a lot of sentimentality attached to it. It's like you're the temporary owner of this thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like it wasn't perfect when you got it. You're not giving it back in perfect form, but it's like this thing was just hanging out at our house for a while. Do you know what I mean? Like you don't want to create this thing where like even like my parents have like part of the stuff, some of the stuff I have to get rid of is like crap that my parents brought to me
Yeah.
That they have been keeping in their attic for 30 years. And I'm like, why? You know? But like, just going like, hey, this is all stuff. The memories you have with the stuff is significant. But like, this horse, we bought this for $7 at a garage sale. You played with it 3 times. We're going to move on.
Yeah. I wonder if the way to, I mean, I don't know how you would sort of instill this in young kids, but it's sort of like you rent the toy and you own the memories, right? Like,
yeah,
that's
sure.
That's sort of the mindset. Cause I wonder if it's one of those things where when kids are young, toys are the only things that are theirs. So there's this instinct to hold on to having agency and having sort of ownership, but that only goes so far when they aren't being used. And then it just becomes material.
But I do feel like it was, we were not fully aware of the sort of quiet background stress that the dysfunction of the house was causing. You know, when you move furniture and you're like, wow, the room feels so much bigger. You're like, oh, wow. Like, I feel a different energy in the house having less stuff in it. And so like, whatever age your kids are, whatever you can afford or whatever, you know, there's some, a certain amount of like luxury in this, but the idea of like, hey, like there's an art to doing this thing. And chances are you are not skilled at that art, and bringing on someone who just like did it better. You're just like, wow. Like, we were using our house the wrong way.
Yeah. Do you feel like that's going to be, do you think going through that process has been all you need to have sort of a mindset shift on accumulating those things? Or does some, like, that's one of the things that my friend Catherine was always saying, is like, they're not worried about repeat business at a certain level, because some of these people are going to be right back to where they started in 5 years.
But definitely. And like, but I think about it as like, okay, we've only owned this house 7 or 8 years, right? So it took us 8 years to get to this point.
Yeah.
Like, if you told me like, it's going to, yes, it definitely reverts. There's entropy and it reverts back. But like, if you're telling me I bought 8 years of not where it was right before we hired, I'm like, great deal. Do you know what I mean? Like, you paint your house, it looks great for the first year, looks a little worse the second year, third, you know, eventually you're like, this paint's starting to show some wear. So I think the organizing stuff is similar to that. So it's like, when it's fresh, it's great. And then you can hire them again to do like refresh stuff. So that's probably what we'll end up doing. But anything that bought us some relief from where it was worth it.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like, I definitely need to do that with books. And we've done that. We've managed to do that with toys for Will. It's like, they go in 3 places. Mostly so he has places to run between, and also so we don't break our feet stepping on trucks. There's some utility to that and selfishness to that. But like, we need that mindset for ourselves, for our own stuff. Just so, like you said, it opens the space up. There's like literally more air to breathe. And you can take deeper breaths in your own house.
Weirdly, I think, and this might be somewhat hard for people to relate to, but probably maybe in your own way you can. The big lesson that I'm trying to work on is, okay, like, when you're an author, when you have a social media platform, when you have a podcast, like, people just send you stuff. Like, I get sent so much stuff. It started, you know, many years ago with like, hey, do you want to copy this book? And I was always game for it. And, you know, now it's like, try this coffee, or like, you know, this all the sponsors on the podcast, they send us stuff. And then some of them put you on a recurring thing. So even when they stopped advertising, you're still getting it. And then you're on this list, and then someone sells you that. Like, I get mailed so much stuff. And there's this part of me that feels bad throwing it away, giving it away, not at least taking it home to see if anyone wants it, you know? Or it's like, okay, like, I got like this NBA team like sent me like a jersey and a hat and this water bottle and whatever. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, you know, I gave the jersey to my son, and I wear the hat, and then the water bottle I gave someone who works for me. But I was like, look at this wooden box. This is so cool. And then it's like, so I brought it home, right? And the kids were like pretending it's a treasure chest. This is a great toy. We have the designers go, like, or the organizers go through, and like, no joke, I guess this is something about my memory. They found four of these wooden boxes, right? Like over the years, this has happened at least four different occasions. We have four like luxurious cigar boxes of nothing in them, you know? And it's like, I'm just bringing this shit home to eventually throw it in the trash, right? Like, why not just fast forward, throw it in the trash right when I get it, you know? So I'm trying to get better at like, I don't need another, oh, I'll use this as a gym t-shirt. No, you won't. Like just straight to Goodwill, or better yet, don't accept it in the first place.
Dude, the number of people that I know who are now in their 40s who still have the credit card t-shirts they got in college.
Yeah.
Is insane. And it's just one, and it's not like they have not purchased four other t-shirts in the last 25 years. It's just adding to the mess in their drawers. It's crazy. So are you just sort of committing to like, that's going straight in the bin, or are you?
Like yesterday, something came in and it looked cool. And then one of the employees of the bookstore was like, oh, that's awesome. And I was like, it's yours.
Take it. You
know, like, not even going to take this home to set it on the kitchen table. And then 3 days from now, Sam's like, what's this? And I'm like, oh, I thought maybe you would want it. And then it goes in the cabinet. And then 6 months from now, we're cleaning out and we're like, why do we have this expired coffee? And then we're throwing it away then, you know, like, and obviously there's some stuff that I'm really grateful to have. I'm excited to have, I want to keep it, but it's just like, look, this happens. Like you go to a kid's birthday party and there's the bag of favors, or, you know, you get your work Christmas tote bag and it's like, do you actually need this or want it? Or do you just feel obligated, or do you just feel guilty not keeping it? This is where the Marie Kondo like sparks joy thing, but it's like, I'm clogging the arteries, right? So like if I could just stop eating garbage, it will unclog the arteries won't get so clogged.
Yeah, you need like a free pile / gifting suite and just like take it. Just,
yes,
you know, because like I would be shocked if you made meaningful decisions based off the swag that somebody gives you. But, you know, I'm sure the creators of whatever are those things want those things just to be used. So who cares who has it? You just give it.
Totally. Yeah. And like, look, I think this is increasingly important when you do work from home, because like that shit's now coming to your house.
Yep.
Right. Like, so in like, obviously having the office is itself one buffer, right? So the house is your safe space. And like the boxes are piling up somewhere other than like where you sleep at night. So you know what I mean? It's just realizing it's like, this is clogging up the kitchen table and the kitchen counter and the entryway and the garage. And it's like, not so like, I got it. I drove it home. Like, no, just leave it there, throw it away. You know, also when people are like, hey, can I send you this? I want to try to get better at being like, I really appreciate it, but I don't need another one of those. Like,
yeah. Do you find, like, when you were talking to your organizer, did she give you the sense like yours was just like a standard, typical situation that she deals with, or was there anything unique about it?
Right. You're like, how do I rank according? How crazy am I compared to your other patients, doctor? No, I did not get a sense of that. I was also not the main interfacer, but I would probably put us at like, I guess the question is like, is it on a scale of like minimalist to hoarder, you know, like legit, like you're going to be on the show Hoarders, or is it just like reasonable for some reason? I would say if 10 is like a hoarder who's, you know, killed by their own falling stacks of magazines, you know, we're probably at a 5. If it's like on what a house should be, we're probably more at like 7 or 8, but I think it's better now.
Yeah.
And hopefully, even if it just bought us some space to then make better decisions, it was definitely worth doing.
Because the last thing you want to do is to accumulate so much stuff that you run out of space and then feel like you have to upgrade your house and move to someplace you maybe don't enjoy just to do the same thing all over again.
I think that's right. And to me, the meta lesson is like, again, you're very good at whatever it is you do. And that thing is probably not organizing houses, right? So like hiring, like I think to me, the meta lesson is whatever the problem you're struggling with, there's probably someone who's very good at that thing. Yeah. And you don't have to hire them in some sort of expensive way. It could be just like a virtual walkthrough, or you could read their book, or, you know, like just, but the idea of availing yourself of specialists in regards to the problem you're dealing with, to me, is a important parenting lesson.
Yeah. And we did it on home maintenance. We signed a maintenance contract with a guy that we worked with when we were doing renovations, and he spun off and did his own thing. And he's doing annual maintenance work for homes in the area. And he and his team will come through and they'll do the annual, you know, changing the air conditioning filters, making sure the boiler is set for the winter, all those sorts of things. But the huge value that he brings to us is that he knows all the other vendors we would need when other crap goes bad that he doesn't necessarily service. So if we need to like move the air conditioner or redo the air conditioner, he's got the HVAC guy he trusts who will take his calls and put us on the list, high up on the list. That we've been with him for 3 months, and we've utilized that part of his relationships 5 times already.
Well, that's a great idea. Let's call it there, and we'll do an episode next week on exactly that, because I'm just going through that right now and I want to get your advice.
Sounds good.
All right, cool, man. Talk soon.
Yep.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Daily Dad Podcast. You can get this via email every day as well at dailydad.com. Please leave us a review in iTunes. And most importantly, if you know any dads or parents who would benefit from these messages, please spread the word. Thanks.